Welcome to the Williams Meekin YB Hurton phone conference line.
So, tell the government regulators that we want to know if genetically modified ingredients are in our food. We have that right. By not requiring labeling, the FDA deprived us of that choice. They're close to the goal. I'm not sure when this came out, so but maybe you can find out by going on to the EWG.org site. That's Environmental Working Group, EWG. And genetically engineered foods are appearing on supermarket shelves with increasing frequency. More than 80%, 80 of crops like corn and soy are genetically engineered. Some 60 to 70% of processed foods available in the grocery stores likely contain some genetically engineered ingredients. We eat those common foods almost every day without being fully informed about their content, and also probably enough not for that result. Before I go to the next page, which is pretty bad, we're going to look to see what Kathy Abascal says. Some of the things that she says about genetically modified foods. First of all, she explained to us kind of how they make genetically modified foods, and I'm just going to kind of skim it and say that it's often presented as gene splicing. This is talking about your DNA, or not our DNA, but primarily the plant DNA, but not entirely. So they may use a gene gun to blast the genes into the DNA. They put them in a petri dish, and then they blast the other gene into it. And so they use something. The reason they're doing this is to cause the plants that are growing to resist pests. They don't want to have to use a pesticide, and so they want the food to, the corn or whatever, to naturally resist the pest. It also means that GM foods usually contain a gene for antibiotic resistance, because they don't just do one thing. They're going to, the petri dish is also doused with a toxic amount of antibiotic. Any cells that survive are expressing the gene for antibiotic resistance. Oh, good. So if you eat some of that, well, then you're going to have an antibiotic in your body. You won't even have to go to the doctor. But you also won't resist. You will be antibiotic resistant. And so then that's why you're hearing that people are not are resistant to the antibiotics now. For instance, GM corn modified to produce an insecticidal compound also has a gene for resistance to the antibiotic ampicillin. So many scientists worry that when humans and animals eat GM foods, antibiotic-resistant marker genes will transfer to the intestinal flora, creating new strains of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. In Britain and in much of Europe, they have had an immediate moratorium on genetically engineered foods. In response, the biotech industry cited animal studies showing that DNA does not survive digestion. Was it true? Subsequent studies found DNA in the blood, liver, spleen, and feces of test animals. In another study, volunteers ate fast food hamburger and milkshake that contained GM soy. The herbicide-resistant gene in the soy was transferred to intestinal bacteria after a single meal. Given that all, with an emphasis on it, fast food contains GM products, and given that tens of millions of people eat tens of millions of fast food meals daily, the technique used to produce GM foods may well be adding to the very real problems of antibiotic resistance that we are struggling with at the present. I think it gets worse here. So More worryingly, a plant's genetic makeup may become unstable again with unpredictable results. Rogue toxins may be produced, or existing ones amplified massively. Such problems may only arise hundreds of generations after the crops are originally modified. Another concern with genetic modification is our inability to predict how these new genes will express themselves in the future. You know, I don't really like reading on our call, but I just don't know exactly how to summarize some of these things. So I'm sharing some parts with you. Anybody have anything to say at this point? Okay, going to go ahead. We don't have a whole, not very long. Oh, that's the parts that I'm going to share. A technique is used to modify bacteria, which then produce drugs and other chemicals, a technique that is approved in most countries. This method was used by a manufacturer of tryptophan, an amino acid used as a supplement to promote sleep. The GM bacteria produced tryptophan, and the tryptophan was encapsulated and marketed. Subsequently, reports of deaths and permanent nerve damage began surfacing among those taking this tryptophan supplement. The bacteria produced tryptophan as planned, but also for some unknown reason produced a neurotoxin. But you get around for messing around with the DNA. A potential problem with GM canola. Oh, this is a lovely one. Canola. Now that's your canola oil, right? The examples show that we cannot with certainty guarantee what genes a modified plant or animal may express or how they may express them. This uncertainty poses particular problems in plants that already have genes for toxins. Take canola, for instance. The rape plant is what canola used to be, but they changed the name because people wouldn't eat it if it was called the rape plant. Carries a gene that produces eruic, I was going to look this up in the pronunciation, so maybe somebody knows it. It's E-R-U-C-I-C, erucic, I guess. Erucic acid is a toxin that can cause fatty degeneration of the heart and adrenals. Lovely. The rapeseed plant was hybridized and a strain was created that produces very little erucic acid. But the gene for the toxin remains in the rape plant. Now some 50% of the rape plants are grown from genetically modified seeds. So they don't know what's going to happen next with those. But we must decide if we really wish to rely on the safeguards. You know, when you cross seeds, then they become hybrid. And you know that when you plant a hybrid seed, that does, hybrid seed doesn't mean it's genetically modified. It's just a crossbreed type of thing. But when you go and you plant crossbred seeds, like if you have your plant and it grows some seeds and then you take those and plant them, they're not pure and you don't know what you're going to get. And that's why if you're going to plant with seeds that you've grown, then you want to use the heirloom seeds. So I can get off in the gardening direction here. And so they're saying the same thing. Well, if they're growing the rapeseed with some of these, you don't know if they're going to fall back and have the erucic acid or not. So here's a lovely one. You'll really like this. Potential issues with synthetic bovine growth hormone, and that's a BGH. The first genetically modified food to enter our food chain was dairy from cows injected with synthetic bovine growth hormone, BGH. BGH was developed to increase milk production and is injected in cows twice a month. After injection, the growth hormone levels in cow's blood may jump to around 1,000 times normal levels. Wow. You'd think that would make if she produced so much milk, she'll burst her bag. After reviewing this data, the FDA proposed regulations that milk could not be sold for 5 days after BGH injection, and meat from the cow could not be sold for 10 days after injection. After having to dump close to one-third, 10 days' worth of the milk produced in a month, of course, would prevent the injection from increasing the nut production. So the dairy industry convinced the FDA to abandon the proposed regulation based on a showing that humans do not absorb growth cow hormone. This did not, however, satisfy the safety concerns such as a European oversight agency, because an increase in growth hormone also increases the production of an insulin-like growth factor, and that's called IGF. Cow and human IGF-1 are very similar. It is not destroyed by pasteurization, and humans can absorb the cow IGF. IGF is a very strong hormone and causes cells to divide. Elevated level of IGF in humans has been linked to both breast and prostate cancers, as well as colon, lung, and others. We do not need extra IGF. I can hear Kathy saying that. So, we do not know if the jump in the growth hormone and IGF cows is due to the concentrated amounts of hormone used in twice monthly injections or is due to the genetic modification of the hormone. However, cows injected from BGF suffer from birth defects, reproductive disorders, increased incidence of mastitis, foot and leg injuries, indigestion, bloat, diarrhea, and shortened lives. The pus content infection, apparently, of milk from BGH cows was shown to increase another 19% compared to milk of untreated cows. They are independent reasons to consider avoiding BGH dairy products. How are we going to know which ones are? So no wonder she told us not to drink any dairy, eat any dairy products. Other genetically modified foods, I think we'll cover that with the next chart I have. There's another thing she has, and this is where we found the avoiding the GM foods, that there are little stickers. Now, I found that there were some that had completely different stickers, so maybe you can find some of them that have these kinds. The price lookup stickers, PLU, are used to identify the type of produce. They also identify how the produce was grown. Produce that is grown conventionally, such as those above, carry stickers with four numbers. Produce with a sticker carrying five numbers, always beginning with a 9, is certified organic, and that's what you want to find, certified organic. And so then they give an example. I think we need to have an example.
Did you change slides?
Do I have slides?
No. I thought you were changing the slide. No, I guess not. I'm sorry. We're still on the environmental working groups? Okay. Sorry.
No, this is Kathy. What I've been reading is Kathy Abascal's book.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I'm saying, yes. But okay, that's fine. In other countries, any food that contains GM ingredients must state the fact on the food's label. In North America, the manufacturer may choose not to inform consumers that their product is made from GM ingredients. One of the troubles is that the people have invested in these companies, and so they're not going to vote to put something on the label that they make their products not sell. So there are websites, and now these are listed in Kathy's book, in which market may be genetically modified. And one of them is www. I haven't looked this one up. I should have looked this one up, but I didn't. Dot UC, like University of California, UC, I don't know if that's what it is, SUSA.org/food. So that again, I might be able to write this. www.ucs, as in sunshine, S, again, sunshine, a.org/food. And only buy foods that are certified organic, which prohibits the use of any genetically modified ingredients, including the feeding of the GM to the corn. So you're then certified organic means that not only the meat is organic, but or the dairy, but also they cannot be eating any of that GM food. Buy locally, where you can speak to the grower. Contact the manufacturer. Okay, so on the horizon are bananas that produce human vaccines against infectious diseases, such as hepatitis B. Fish that mature more quickly, cows that are resistant to bovine spongiform, cephalopathy, mad cow disease, and fruit and nut trees that yield years earlier, and plants that produce new plastics with unique properties. I didn't know a plant can produce a plastic. Okay, now then, the next slide. Some of the examples, GM peas cause lung damage in mice. An offspring of fat-fed GMO soy showed a fivefold increase in mortality, lower birth weights, and the inability to produce. So that's genetically modified soy. Genetically modified potatoes can cause cancer in rats. Male mice said genetically modified soy had damaged young sperm cells. Bacteria in your gut can take up the DNA from genetically modified food. Remember they said that some back in the other one that they had said that they couldn't, but they're finding that they can. The bacteria can. The embryo offspring of genetically soy-fed mice had altered DNA functioning. Genetically modified foods lead to significant organ disruptions in rats and mice, especially the kidney, the liver, the heart, and the spleen. Several U.S. farmers reported sterility or fertility problems among their pigs and cows fed on genetically modified varieties. This is why I just really think people with children or who want to have children, I mean, this can affect you if you start eating this way when you're a child and when you want to have children. What might be going to be happening? BT
Ruth?
Corn, and I'm Monty?
Yes, seeing that you're on the subject of children, Roger Drummer did a thing Monday and it was talked about the children's brain health. And one of the things he said about products like this and toxins and everything else was that when newborn babies, they did a test on newborn babies, and they found over 280 toxins that's already in their blood. And he also, the other thing he said is that young ladies or people that are going to have children, is that they need to start on organic type foods and foods like that, not have GMO foods and those kind of things, a year before they're actually going to consider conception, because they're finding this so much in regards to children now, and it all has to do with what you're teaching here, and you just said it, is that people that have children really need to be concerned because of these type of things, because we're putting it into our children after the children has been conceived by the food that mama eats. We're also injecting these things, and you mentioned earlier about the sperm, that the father in the side, because of the sperm, does certain things into our children. So what you just said about children is we really need to, and everybody has talked about it on this program, is our children, we need to be concerned about what we're eating, because our children pick up the habits and the foods normally that we eat. So I just wanted to interject that. Thank you.
That's exactly what we're talking about, Monty. This is the last I have right down here, and then I would like to hear more discussion of just like what Monty was saying. I don't know, does biotox corn or BT corn cause a wide variety of immune responses in mice commonly associated with diseases such as arthritis, Lou Gehrig's disease, osteoporosis, and inflammatory bowel disease? Investigators in India have documented fertility problems, abortions, premature births, and other serious issues, including death, among buffaloes fed genetically modified cottonseed products. So, somewhere I was reading that cottonseed is another product that they're genetically modified. So now this really tells us why. We talk about avoiding the genetically modified, but I think seeing the things that the scientists are seeing and is definitely not being promoted anywhere. And so this brings me to the idea that we're a network marketing company. We're a network marketing people. And if you care about your fellow man and the future of humanity, even, we need to be getting people educated. And so it's time to call up the people and get them to come on our calls. And this is not all we learn, but it's a part of it. And what about the example and the accountability and everything that we're setting? And then we step up. Elaine Matthews, you are here. Elaine, if you're muted, please star six and tell us what results you've been getting from following a program similar to this.
Yes, Ruth, I'm here. I am muted. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you. Great. Welcome to our call, Elaine.
Well,
Elaine's
calling
in from Pennsylvania, East Western Pennsylvania.
Thank you so much. You just want me to go ahead and share, Ruth? Is that what you'd like me to do? Okay.
I want to say a couple more things. Elaine Matthews, I'd like for you to tell what you were doing before you just retired, and I want to tell you that she just recently moved to a new area of Pennsylvania, and so she's just always been very excited about NECAN, and she is just has some booming things going, and so I'm excited to have you meet Elaine. And so, Elaine, would you tell us what you've been doing a little bit, both with NECAN and the results that you're having with this program?
Okay. Well, thank you, Ruth, for inviting me to come on, and I'm so glad to be here, and just want to say hi to everybody. I looked at the list, and I saw everybody that was on, and a lot of familiar names and faces. So I joined NECAN. It'll be 15 years in July that I'm a member and a proud consultant of NECAN, let's put it that way. I've seen so many miracles in my family, with myself and everything else. In 2007, I was talking with Gloria, who's from, I think, the state of Washington. I found my papers, Ruth. And I was on her health program, you know, to lose weight. And I found my numbers and what my measurements were, my weight was back then. And I actually went a little bit higher than that through the years. I now have lost 50 pounds. And I'm just so pleased with what has happened with my weight and my inches from 2007. And really, I only started working on this when I moved to Western Pennsylvania. It was December of 2008, and my mom passed away in July of 2009. And that year, I went and lost 3 pounds in 2009. Since then, now I've lost a total of 50. So it's been slow coming off, but my pounds are down 50, and my inches, I found these numbers today, and I just couldn't believe it. I was so glad I found it because I lost 36 inches on my body. And I just feel fantastic. I was a toll collector on the Pennsylvania Turnpike for all but 17 years. I was on 8 medications at one point, and asthma was a big thing because of all the fumes from the cars and trucks. And as I was listening to Ruth talk, boy, do I know about toxins, you know, and what it does to the body. Well, I'm off of all my medications, but about a year and a half ago, I was told I was diabetic, and it's on both sides of my family. And, oh, I love sugar, and I love to eat, as my weight shows. But that's why I started losing the 30 pounds. About a year and a half, 2 years ago, when I started on this quest to lose weight and get my numbers down. Well, it seemed as if I'm going to proceed to December just last year. My numbers in the morning were 240 when I get up in the morning, because I had a wonderful November and December, just eating all kinds of holiday goodies, and I was not doing good at all with my health. Physically, you know, I didn't have the headaches, I didn't have all the problems that I had on the turnpike, but, I was just, my diabetes was out of control. And with the help of Gloria and Roger Drummer and Elaine Conley, an RN from here in Ohio, you know, just listening to these people over the years, I decided that January 1st of this year, I'm going to get on a quest to get my blood sugar numbers down and my weight down. So I went with what Roger always stated, and I heard other people say this, give up everything white in your diet. So I gave up sugar and flour, pastas. That was about, I guess, the categories I looked at the most. Mostly white potatoes, but I did on occasion have a baked potato, and sweet potatoes I like, but I stayed away from the sugar. And by the end of January, that 240 was down to about 100 and maybe 24, 130, somewhere in that category. I was so pleased. In February here, I've gotten it down in the 90s, my sugar in the morning. And I am just ecstatic with what has happened with my blood sugar. I get up in the morning, I do my body balance, you know, and I put Ciag in it and strawberries in it, frozen, and I blend it up and I drink that and take my vitamins and, oh, I'm just, there's a new me. You know, there's just a new me coming out of all this. And I was telling Ruth about this, and I also, the end of the year, I just really looked at myself and I said, I got to write down my goals for 2012. And I wrote down 10. And Molly, who's from the state of Ohio, I have to give her kudos and so much credit. She was my HBM partner in November of last year in Ohio. And she called me up and said, would you be my accountability partner? And I said, sure, Molly, I'd be glad to do that, because we both talked about our business at HBM. And, well, that led me to getting on a mastermind group. And I had these goals written down, and, you know, some were personal, and one of them was, by the end of March, I want my sugar to be down where it needs to be and no more medication. I'm on one pill for my diabetes, and that's it. No inhalers, haven't taken them for over 2 years. Since I got out here and away from all those fumes and toxins on the turnpike. So I got on this accountability thing and made my goals and wrote them down, and I'm reading them every day, and gee whiz, things are happening with my business. It's amazing. I read this every day. I have my affirmations there. I have it taped up here in front of me on my desk, right over my computer screen, and I read it every day, and I just go over it. I go out of the house with a different attitude. I really have a different heart, you know, and I'm just thanking God so much. I'm praying so much for what he's done for me. I've always been a good Christian, but I feel the last 2 years my religion has really, and my God has meant so much more to me. So it's just, it's changed me, and I'm out there sharing with people, and, well, my business is showing it. You know, after convention, my volume did go up in November and December, and, well, you know, it's just doing fantastic. I have some new blood on my team. After Christmas, I had a big gathering at my house, a party, and it was, I cooked for everybody. I made a dinner, and I had 19 people show up, and 7 of them were consultants and 12 were guests, and I was blown away. You know, we had a wonderful night. Everybody talked and visited in the beginning because I was busy trying to get all the food out, and everybody was just there talking to everybody. It was great because they were networking and sharing with each other, the guests and everybody. So we had a wonderful night, and the next time after that, you know, in January, we had, I think, 11, and then 1 week we had 9, and another week we had only 4 or 5 show up, and then this week we had 7. So, you know, it's been going good. It's been, and everybody, you know, I get people to come back and bring more people. And something I heard just recently from Rick and Terry, because I love Rick and Terry. Terry was interviewing Rick, and no, it was the other way around. Rick was interviewing Terry, And he asked him, you know, to explain what he does, and he says, I just push play. And he was sharing about putting a DVD in it and how his business grew when he did that. And other people, especially new people, we got to keep it simple, like an eight-year-old. So this is what I started doing. I just push play. First, we talk, and everybody introduces themselves. Everybody that's a consultant, as we go around the room, they share their short testimonial, and the new people tell me a little bit about themselves. I give them product, and then I push play. And it's just been working really well. And this week, I used Dr. John Jackson's DVD that I had bought that, let's see, I have it here on my desk. It's Natural Health and Staying Well Professional Health Panel. I got it from Focus on Growth, and it's from Santa Cruz, California. And there's many on here, but he's the first one that shares. And it's really done well, and it's only about 14 or 15 minutes long. And everybody really enjoyed it this week, and it was short, which is what we need to do. So then
that is what we need to do. Elaine, we're running a little over, but I think you're doing a great job. I'm so glad to have you come, and I hope you'll come back frequently and join us. One of the things I also was impressed with that you did do, you said that you just fix a pot of soup and maybe have some crackers, and so the people don't have to go home and have dinner. They just come, and you do push play, and then afterwards you have something for to eat. And maybe that doesn't seem very simple, but if you don't want to make some soup, you can find some healthy soup out of a can or something, or have it prepared way ahead and freeze it, and then have it open it up. But I think having that, then people will sit around and visit and talk and make up their orders if there's something there that then they're going to eat, right?
Yes, they sit. You know, we just stop everything after the 15 minutes. I say, let's go have some soup. We go have soup and crackers and cheese usually I have on the table. And we just sit there and visit, and everybody's talking and networking, and they're asking me questions. Oh, by the way, while they're eating, I show the water demo, because now we're in the kitchen and in the dining room, and I just show that water demo real quick. And then we talk about that a little bit, and then I'll say, well, you know, just enjoy yourself, and I'm here to answer any questions. You know, I usually tell them, where would you like to begin your wellness journey? And I heard something with, let's see, who was it? This weekend when I was over in Ohio, he said, what we have to say to people is give them three choices. One is that they have three choices to make. Either they're interested and they want to look at this for the product and the business. The second choice is, oh, no, I'm just interested in the product. And the third is, no, I'm not interested at all. And, you know, I think that was that's kind of sums it up. Oh, I always show the short DVD, too, of Healthy Child, Healthy World, because I want to pull that together at the end before they leave. I show that. In fact, before we go have our soup, I show that real quick because I want them to pull it together, and I want them to understand that we are on a quest. We have a mission here.
So all these the DVDs that you're showing are real short little clips, kind of like Healthy Child, Healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not there for 5 hours. And,
yeah. They stay. They enjoy the soup. They sit. They visit. They stay. They ask questions. They talk. They place orders. They buy things. You know, and there's no pressure. I mean, I'm not pressuring them, and I don't give order blanks out to people, but I have forms there, and I tell them, here's some literature you can take home. Here's the application if you're interested in becoming a member, and I share it's $35. You know, and I just kind of say, where would you like to begin your health? We'd love to have
you join
our team and our quest and our dream of helping thousands of children and the families to better health.
That sure links, into what we were talking about today, doesn't it?
It sure does. It sure does.
We have a question, and it's, what was the name of the CD that you had with John Jackson on it that you got from Focus on Growth? What's the name of that CD?
Okay, it says Natural Health and Staying Well, Professional Health Panel.
Great. Thanks.
And I can give you the number. I got it at Focus on Growth. It's 4325 DVD, it says, underneath it. And there's Dr. John Jackson. There's other doctors on here. There's a pharmacist on here, an electrical engineer, a businessman, holistic health and wellness lady, a counseling psychologist, I guess it would be. And, you know, there's quite a few, but I just showed Dr. John Jackson because he does a good job. He even shows pictures of his family. He shows pictures of his wife and his girls and his mom and his grandma, and then he shares about them, and he goes on. And in that 15 minutes, he does an excellent job of covering a lot of territory.
All right. Well, we hope that you'll come back and join us again.
I will. I will do that.
Regularly. We'd love to have you. I remember having you on a lot of my calls in the past. Certainly appreciate your coming and sharing with us today. I think that the results that you've gotten from following a program and having your affirmations and doing those things that keep you in a positive form and on the way, and the success that you're having with your NECAM business, that's all very exciting, and that's where we all want to be. So,
Thank you.
There's no reason why we can't stay on. So if anybody has to go, that's fine. But maybe see if anybody has any question for you first, Elaine. Anybody have a question or comment to Elaine? Star 6 if you're trying to talk, because you might be muted. If you're muted, use star 6 to unmute.
Well, this is Mary Lou. Congratulations, Elaine. You have definitely turned your life around, haven't you?
Yes, I thank you. I'm really proud. And my son is a physician assistant here in town where I moved to. I worked from Lancaster County and I moved to Western Pennsylvania. And he's so proud of me, and it just makes me feel good. And my three grandchildren, you know, I'm playing more. I'm so much healthier.
Good. Good girl. Good for you.
And Ruth, thank you, because I know I used to be on your calls years back, and measurements and eating and those calorie charts and that book in the zone. I remember all. It finally stuck.
Good. Yeah, we have some of those charts, too, but I don't think I have them on here today, but some of the times I have them on. They are on the website. The zone glycemic load charts are on there also. So if you want to go, you can get them on there.
Well, thanks.
So thank you very much for visiting with us, and thank all of you for attending today. And tomorrow we'll have Monty, and we always enjoy having Monty be our host. And so we'll see you tomorrow, and have a great day. Get your affirmations out. Get somebody to be accountable with. And let's move this program on and set some good examples for the people who come on and come and join us. And be ready for a Transparent Tuesday next week when Monty Sue's here. When she's speaking, I guess she is here. So everybody have a great day, and thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.